We talk about ourself, and we talk about unconditional love, and we talk about peace on earth, and we think that's good. Well, it's not. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing with Instant Illumination, talking about unconditional love and peace on earth. Now, unconditional love and peace on earth are available to everybody. All you got to do is do it. I was thinking to myself as I was walking the path this morning and thinking of some of the writings of Ralph Waldo Emerson and thinking, here he was living in the day before the typewriter and he had to write all these things down by hand, and when ideas came to him, he had to write them down. And he was a brilliant man, very brilliant man. He was always in his study writing, always at his window with his pen, his quill, writing his thoughts down on paper. And of course, he had to be first a disciplined writer, or else he would have been crossing out all the time, throwing it away. But once he was a disciplined writer, then he took the thought that he wanted to think about, and he stayed on that 100%. And I thought, gee, you know, as I read the writings of Ralph Waldo Emerson, this transcendentalist that is so much into metaphysical thinking and so forth, I think, what a glorious mind he has. What a marvelous thought system he has. What the way he puts together words to express his thoughts is just really magnificent. And I think, gee, I'd like to have that talent like that. And then I say, no, I have my own gift that I am here to live in this world, and it may be writing, it may be speaking, it may be who knows what, but every moment of my life I am doing it. Now, what is the gift that I have to give to this life? What's the gift that you have to give to this life? I don't really care what gift you have to give to this life. Make any difference to me. What gift do I have to give to this life? Now, what gift do I have to give to this life? The gift that I have to give to this life is something I do a million moments every day. And that is the gift of thinking. I have the gift of thinking to give to my life. So, I think of myself, and I think of myself as a pure vessel, as my original purity and integrity. Those are good thoughts. Those are good thoughts. Unconditionally loving thoughts about myself. No. I think that my physical body is a good physical body. I say to myself, every time I go for a doctor's visit or something, I say, my body is whole and perfect. When I go in there, he's going to find it whole and perfect. He'll say, why are you here? And that's what he says. But he says, do come back, because I charge you and I make my money that way. If you don't come see me, I don't make money. Well, doctor, how about if I just send you a check, a donation, every month, you know? And he said, well, how much were you thinking of? Well, how about $2,000 a month? He says, well, that's just fine as a starter, you know? But as you realize that every time you send me a check, you are writing yourself your prescription for your perfect health, you should really write a check for $5,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 a month. Right? Right. And what am I going to say? Doctor, I haven't written a check for $100,000, you know? He said, well, start, you know? And you say to yourself, doctor, are you sure you're really a normal, realistic human being? Oh, yes, quite. Quite. He said, because who do you think planted these thoughts in your mind? Who do you think that planted these ideas in your mind of unconditional love and of sharing? You know, who do you think it was? You stop and think about it, and it's quite exciting. Quite exciting. Now, what is this all about for you? What is it all about for me? Be myself and have fun? Now, my thoughts are the greatest gift that I have to give to the world. Now, what kind of thoughts am I giving? What kind of thoughts am I thinking? What kind of thoughts am I acting upon? Am I acting upon thoughts that are would like to be thoughts, you know, that I'd like to see them done, Am I acting upon thoughts that I hope might one day be done, but I'm a little doubtful because they're so wonderful, you know? Can you imagine? Just imagine giving a doctor a check for $1,000 a month and not going to see him. Can you imagine that? And then, can you imagine, because you feel so much better, you give a doctor a check for $10,000 a month and don't even go see him because you feel so much better. And then you give him a check for $100,000 a month and because you really feel good. Now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? The doctor is going to become your patient. The doctor is going to come to you and say, I don't know what I'm doing right, but you sure doing everything right, because for you to be able to do what you're doing for me is fantastic. What kind of life are you doing? What are you doing? And you just say, I'm thinking good thoughts. But where does the money come from? I'm independently wealthy. Well, where does it come from? I don't know. Out of the infinite allness. I don't worry myself where the money comes from. I just write a check, and I don't even look to see what's in the bank. And have my checks ever bounced? No. Well, what's your problem, Doc? Well, I just got to say this, Herb. Every day I see you more and more improved. Every day I see you richer and richer and richer. Every day I see you with all the glorious desires of your heart fulfilled in your world. And I say, Doctor, now I'm giving you $1,000,000 a month. And he says, oh, Herb, don't bother, but I thank you, because now I am my own wealth. I am my own source of all. I am independently wealthy. Hey, Doc, join the club. How wonderful it is. But can you see? This sounds stupid. It sounds idiotic. It sounds outrageous, but that's the way the principle works. That's the way the principle works. And you see, every time you work the principle the way it works, you have the joy of abundance, the joy of health, the joy of right relationships, the joy of everything in your life. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It is just wonderful. You know, it's amazing to me how many thoughts I think and how many things I think about. And every time I think them and I hear back about it later, it's done. And then I think about the things I do for the children here on campus, and I think to myself, why is it they don't respond as quickly as they can? And the answer comes back, they do. They respond beautifully. But Herb, you don't want to recognize this, but Herb, they have come a long way. And they are going yet a long way. And the longest way is to come to the point of the two monks crossing the river, remember? The two monks were crossing the river, and as they were getting ready to go across, the very beautiful girl was standing on the edge of the river and said, would one of you gentlemen please help me? And so without a thought, one monk reached down, picked her up, carried her across the river, and set her down and went on his way. Did not speak one word to her, did not make one overture toward her or anything, just went on his way. Well, the other monk saw this, and he saw the tenderness with which the monk picked this girl up, the gentleness, the sincerity, the non-possession, the beauty of it, this absolute beauty of it, and the beauty of setting it down. And he felt so empty inside of himself because he didn't do it. So he complained to the other monk, and he says, you know, in our being monks, we're not supposed to touch a woman. We're not supposed to have anything to do with a woman. And you picked up that woman and carried her across the river. He says, that's right, my friend. But on the other side, I set her down. You didn't set her down yet. And you see, we don't realize how subtly it is that we maintain these attitudes and we keep them in our heart. If you have one little smidgen of unhappiness with another person, you are destroying yourself. You are making your journey eternal to get to where it's you are right now. When you can let go of that little smidgen of you carried her. Yes, I did. I put her down on the other side, and you haven't put her down yet. You see, you haven't let go of the anxiety and the anger and the unhappiness. Now, Heinz was telling me about a neighbor man, a farmer, who bought some land and was using it, and then he got a pompous attitude about himself, and then he went back to the people and told them different stories, and the people said, "Hey, this is not the way you originally told us. You originally said this was going to be a very friendly, happy relationship, and now all of a sudden it wants to cost us lots of money. And we're not interested, you know." And so what this man has done, the first thing he did was to lose the goodwill of his neighbors, to lose the goodwill of himself, to know he's just out after milking the situation for whatever he could, to lose the respect of the city council, who did something, the county council did something that they shouldn't have done, or at least that they were not specific enough with the details to this man to know the rules. And you see, all these people ended up with negative vibes because of that man. But now, that happened yesterday. Today, Heinz has that thought going in his mind, and Heinz says, "I am the master of my thoughts. I am the master of my thoughts. So I am going to wrap that man in my pure white light of love, and I'm going to say in my thoughts, that man is so unconditionally loving. He is just so super, super as a man, just so wonderful as a guy." And he goes around to each neighbor and brings them a beautiful pumpkin pie. Beautiful pumpkin pie. And he says to them, "Neighbor, I lost my way a little while back, but I found it again now. I'd like to offer you the opportunity to use my land to get to the beach, to do all these things, and I'd like to talk with you and work with you on how I can make a success of my project here without violating the harmony of my community." And the people say, "What happened, George? That sounds good to me. Let's have a party, you know. Not a business meeting, let's have a party." And so Heinz says, "Yes, let's have a barbecue." And so then they all go over to this man's house, this farmer's house, and he has a pig, a barbecued pig on the spit. And it is just succulent. It is just the most delicious thing. And then he's got buckets and barrels of salads and other good things that the vegetarian crowd likes, you know. And so he's treating everybody. And his friends, or his friends, the people he's invited, they come in and they look at him and they say, "George, do you realize that you're spending on this party more than it would have cost for you to have originally just done what you wanted to do? The road that you put in there cost you $3,000. This party is costing you at least four, you know? And I know that, you know." And they look at him and they say, "George, you're a changed man, and I like the change." And George says, "I like the change too." But you see, Heinz is now not recreating the situation. If he tries to recreate it, he's going to forget some parts. But as he creates a situation from scratch and sees George getting along so harmonious, is that his name? Sees George getting along so harmoniously with his neighbors and loving them unconditionally and loving the project. The idea was good. The idea sounded like a lot of fun. But the thing is, what he should do is he should have the luxurious condominiums in there, what you call places to go for resort condominiums. He should have one available to each of the neighbors and each of the people there that they can can own it for virtually nothing, and then he has 1,000 more, you know. And the people would say, wow, here we didn't do a thing, and look at how wealthy we are. Look at the lovely things we have. But you see, it wouldn't mean anything to George, because spending publicity money of maybe $50,000 or $500,000 for a $12 million project, nothing, 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 nothing. And you don't think in that logic, but that's the way it balances out. When you give unconditionally, lovingly, openly, and open the doors for everybody, then it's done. Now, Heinz may never go back to New Zealand, and he may never go back to Australia, he may never go to Switzerland, he may never go in, and he may go to all these places. But his going there is not to make changes. His going there is to see everything in unconditional love. And the only stories he'll return to tell to anybody will be stories of unconditional love. And so George put new thoughts in his mind, put new attitudes in his world, and his world looked at George differently. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And you say, Herb, you sure come up with some interesting fictitious stories. No, I don't. These are real. It's just they didn't happen in your environment. But they can. So think on these things and know that the instant inspiration for you is the utilization of your thought in its most powerful, dynamic, beneficial, exciting way. So do it now and enjoy it today. I love you. I love you. I love you.